Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Our mission is to provide stories and resources that will give you inspiration to explore all of the possibilities that your life can be. The possibilities are limitless, and guess what? So are you. It begins with believing. Believing in yourself, believing that the future is yours to write, believing that you can not only write your desired future, but that you have everything that you need to write it, edit it as needed, and fully and wonderfully live it. And you don't have to wait. You can start today. The pen truly is in your hand. I cannot wait to share this week's conversation with you. Today is a keynote speaker, international podcaster, three-time published author, and entrepreneur who has owned and operated health and wellness companies for over 30 years. Early in her career, she became the first female trainer for the Philadelphia Flyers and spent many years as a media personality and as Philadelphia's NBC 10's fitness expert. She also created the nationally recognized Philly Street Line Dance to help combat Philly's fattest city label. For the past 5 years, she has been focusing on SJW Productions, an international company whose main mission is to highlight all the positive in the world. Her name is Sandy Jo Weston, and I think that you will enjoy getting to know her. Sandy, welcome to the show.
We're going to have so much fun, Bobby. I am so pumped.
Hey, we've been having fun just talking before we started recording, so I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, man.
All right, so Sandy, why don't you tell us all a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I was thinking about that because I know you ask your guests that. And I'm like, Sandy, keep it short and sweet. So my entire life, I've been an entrepreneur, owning and operating health and wellness clubs. I have felt like the most blessed woman on planet Earth. Sometimes to the point I feel guilty.
Wow.
Because I just freaking love what I do. Not always. But I feel like I'm surrounded by the most awesome sauce people. And the biggest thing is I know how to connect like that and find joy no matter what else is going on around me. I have been this way for a very long time, since a kid. I did not know I was going to make a career out of it. But I have been using movement, words, and laughter as long as I can remember, probably since the time I was four, but I really can remember at time starting at nine, to create a positive mental attitude and visualize where I want to go. Now, as a kid, it was a survival mechanism. I had no idea I was going to build a career and teach people. I just thought this helps and this is what I'm going to do. And that being said, like many, it wasn't the easiest path I chose to come into, but I didn't start telling my story till a few years ago because, you know, everyone just assumed I came from a very happy, pippy, skippy, wealthy family. Because otherwise, how this happened? But I didn't want to tell my story unless I could definitely come from a place of power. And that when I was telling this story, it would inspire others. And also people wouldn't feel bad. So I grew up very humbly in the projects, but I also, that wasn't the bad part. That was the easy part. Oh. I had some good peeps there, Bob. But my mother spent at least 50% of her time in mental institutions.
Oh, man.
And they weren't the well-funded ones. And it was better when she was there. It was like a stay vacation at home. But growing up in that situation, I created a system. I didn't know it was a system, using movement, words, and laughter to get me in the zone that only took a few minutes and drown out all the craziness going on around me. The part of why I didn't tell it till recently, and it was when you tell your story, especially about my mom, they're always waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, when is she going to turn out like mom? when is she going to start drinking? Like, what is she going to do? Da, 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 da. And whether they were well-intentioned or not, that's what happens, especially growing up in that environment. Even my teachers, my counselors, like mm-hmm. she doesn't stand a chance.
I'm curious about something, Sandy. When you said, you know, if you tell your story or when you tell your story, people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. You mean like for you, like when are you going to, or like, what do you mean by that?
All right, it's two parts. So until I got away to college, everybody knew Andy's mom is, they used to call her Old Lady Weston, even in the projects. They would mm-hmm. come around, my porch peeps, I call my bench peeps. Thank God. They would sit out front and wait for the show to start because she would act crazy and carry on. So knowing that, they were always waiting for me to end up in the mental institution. Even like aunts and uncles, teachers, everybody, even except for my dance teacher. But they didn't know how to handle her. They didn't know how to handle me. They didn't know how to deal with it. And basically, oh God, I even remember the police officer saying, they used to come to the door. Okay, so they would come to the door. My brother, I don't blame him, doing drugs, smoking pot, whatever, drowning the noise out, rock and roll music. My dad would a lot of times take off. If we had a car, we'd sleep in it. Most of the time we didn't. So he'd walk up to the laundromat, stay there. So I'd be with mom. And the police would come and they would say, Danny, gotta quiet your mom down. Now, this is in the projects too. I'm like, I know. I go, well, listen, here's the deal. Why don't you just take me with you? I mean, come on. This is messed up. I'm a good kid. Some family will love me. Firstly. And they would say, oh, stop, Sandy. You're strong. You're going to be able to handle this. This is fine. This is fine. Just quiet your mom down.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay. Now, looking back, I mean, that's all kinds of messed up. But there was way more issues at the time going on in the projects. But imagine that, and the school teacher, everybody knowing it, they're just like, if you can become a waitress, which there's nothing wrong with that, waitress for many years, pump gas to whatever, be happy. Like, we just want you to survive. So everyone was looking for that to happen to me, the therapist, the counselor, everyone. And until I got to college, nobody knows me. They don't know where I came from. It was so freaking freeing. And not that I drank a lot, but I did drink a little and go to parties. When I grew up in the projects, I so much knew I had to be extreme opposite everyone. I didn't even say S-H-I-T. I didn't swear. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I mean, I got straight. I had to be beyond on the straight and narrow.
That's right. Beyond reproach.
Yeah. Because otherwise, this was not going to work out.
Yeah. And then people were thinking, oh, that's the path she's going to go down.
And even at the even when I remember being like in my 50s and people finding out a little part, if I even raised my voice, when they would get mad, they'd be like, oh, here comes your mom. And I'd be like, oh God. And this is why I couldn't even be a normal human being. Like, I was so many years, I was so always joyful, 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 happy, happy, never sad, never whatever. Because if I did, people mm-hmm. were like, see? And now I'm like, because everything, I'm telling you, you have to do in your timing. It wasn't until I was 60, I was like, F them. I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you want to do. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Here's the whole thing. And hopefully it can help others.
Yeah.
So that they don't become a victim to all mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. You do reach that point though, eventually. And like you say, it takes us all, we're all on our own time schedule for when we get there, but eventually, you know, eventually it happens. So
hopefully,
maybe not always, maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe not always.
I mean, some people could go their whole life and you don't know their story. And I don't think anything wrong with that mm-mm. because humans can be a little difficult at times.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, I wanted to go back to something you said. So you said when you were 9, you mm-hmm. discovered that whole thing around movement, words, and laughter. Can you tell me more about that?
My wonderful life. So when things would get wackadoo, I love words. We were talking about that. I would think of one word of how I want to feel. God, think of a word. Joy. fun, ease and flow, peace, powerful. Focus in on that one word. And then most times I would be like, what can I do to feel that word more? Not, I wouldn't say embody is good, but like to really feel that. Do I need to run outside? Do I need to go off? What do I do? Many times it was movement. Now, I ended up being dance. I've been dancing since I'm 4. My uncle, he paid for my dance lessons. Thank you, Uncle Don. And so I would move to jams. I think of my word. What could I do to feel powerful? What could I do to be have fun? And then I create this funky dance and just move. Just for a little bit, put the music on. And then I would like start just laughing about the situation. Like, and tell myself jokes and literally laugh for absolutely no reason. So I'd be up there, you know, doing the funky chicken or whatever to music, laughing around. Me to my brother's next door getting high, which I don't blame him, going, what the heck is she doing? I'm like, I'm having a dance party. And even to this day, I have a dance party. I drive my friends nuts. But those three things carried me to dream where I wanted to go. And then when I was in that state of joy, I would visualize getting through high school, going to college, winning an award, having a boyfriend. And this is, I don't know. I did it my entire life.
Yeah. But there's so many powerful things in there. Like you're using your mind, right? Yep. To shift how you're feeling or to shift kind of, you know, what's around you, if you will.
Yeah.
Wow.
But didn't know it like innately. Uh-uh. So listen, not to get too off on the spiritual path, but how does a kid come in even at a wee age that I can remember 4 or 5 and therapists would come by and say, you know, your mom's blah, blah, blah. And she's, you know, batshit crazy. And I'm like, yeah. I'd be like, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Then you're like, fine. I'm like, yeah, I have 5 angels watching after me. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. You may need to borrow one, but they're not a lot, but they laugh a lot and they have my back. I'm going to be cool. Mm-hmm. And even when I would go to my mother, some of the points, we sit in the lobby, my brother and I, and the therapist would sit there with their little glasses, bring me in. They're like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. And then I tell them, I'm like, I really am good. And they go, you know, we can't figure you out, but we think you are. I go, yeah, we can talk. I can help you. I used to say this all the time. So from a very young age, I innate felt there was some higher power being energy force that we all could tap into. Mm-hmm. But I knew how to tap into, and I was going to be okay. Like I came in from that.
Who were your 5 angels?
Oh, they did. They're sitting here on the desk. They didn't have names. That's the thing. I just knew one was the forgiving one. One was the loving. And everyone's like, you should have named them. I'm like, yeah, I did. And then I've never bought myself an angel, but friends gave me angels throughout the years. But I only have 5.
Here's the reason I asked about your angels. I didn't know if it was like someone from your life who had passed.
Nope.
My mom, not at the same level, but she had psychological issues, never formally diagnosed, but everyone's like, yeah, she's a little different. You know, a lot of people gave her a wide berth. I mean, but when she was in her good moments, best ever, most amazing person ever. And I remember so it was this either great or it could be really bad. Yeah. And there were a few moments in my childhood where, especially when we were on the farm, things would be going, you know, they'd be going, badly or whatever. And I'd be very alone because it was very isolated. And I would very clearly sense my Grandma Nugent and my Uncle Jack were there. And they would say, you're not alone and you will get through this. And I swear, Sandy, it was as though they were in the room.
I believe you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I was asking.
I think mine were anonymous. No.
Yeah. Hey, that's take angels anywhere we can get them.
Listen, tap into the good.
That's right. That is right. So, all right. So now I wanted to ask you a couple of things too. I know somewhere in some of our correspondence, you put something like, you know, things that you can do in 1 to 3 minutes a day that will have a positive, powerful impact on your life. Do you want to speak into that a little bit?
So going back to my wonderful life system, right? And what I did to survive, and now moving forward in the books and journals and teaching techniques that only take 1 to 3 minutes a day. I know you're going to say, Sandy, how could you not seen it? I did not realize till recently I was doing the thing my entire life. Like, to me, mm-hmm. when I started owning health clubs and working with clients and all that, it was mostly in physical, but I didn't really care about their tricep. I really cared about their mental attitude. Fitness mm-hmm. was just my vehicle for the mental fitness, always. I couldn't figure out why I was always getting results. Huh. Every single person got results. And then I realized, oh, it's the metal. And then as I'm putting together the books and journals to teach people how to get in this powerful headset, it still wasn't computing. That's what I was doing. It wasn't until recently. I'm like, holy moly, when I was doing this new keynote, I've been doing this my whole life. And here's the thing. This is why 1-3 minutes. I took about a year to study people that I believed exuded pure joy. And I was fortunate enough to get people from Ooh. Everywhere because I owned health clubs. So I took moms, dads, CEOs, CFOs, athletes, pro athletes, and I bribed them to study them. And I gave you a membership to the gym. How about 2 hours free training? And I wanted to see if there was something they all had in common, like some kind of secret. So I did it for 100 people. I really couldn't find anything. Then my colleague, as I'm going over all the research, and she's like, no, there it is. There it is. There it is. And what we saw was that every single one of them did something every single day to get them in that powerful, positive headspace. All different. Wow. Some could have been 2 hours. Some could have been a minute. Some could have been 2 minutes. All different. They could have baked muffins. They could have worked out the meditation. But they believed they were happening to life. They didn't just walk out to the world. They were going to decide intentionally how they were going to show up. So I thought, okay, cool, cool, cool. Now we have a system. Every single one of them, they believe they're worthy of getting what they want in life and they're going to do something. Okay, great. So then I gathered at one of my health clubs, because my office was really big, what I called the powers to be. And the powers to be, like the 12 apostles, neuroscientists, biologists, chemistry majors, exercise physiologists, sports psychologists, gurus, spiritual leaders. I was lucky enough to know a lot of different people. And we were right near a lot of universities. And I told them my theory. I wanted to create something to help people get into this powerful headspace who didn't already have a routine, who already been, you know, the everyday person. So took a while. They would fight a lot, argue a lot, had no idea what they were talking about. But we came up with something that would be a guidebook to help these people get in that powerful headspace. You know, have to do with words and power statement. They were like, Weston, we think you're onto something. So then, Bobby, I took another year and I got another group of people and I said, I'm going to study you. And you only have to take 5 minutes a day. Pick one area of your life you want to work on. I promise you, do this for 30 days, big impact. 5 minutes. One person did it. It failed miserably. Wow. I mean, one person. And these were highly motivated people. These were members of my gym. But I did say, pick an area of your life that you want to up level. And I broke it down three areas: body health, money, career, or love relationship. You had to pick one that was your sticky wicket, not going well. Okay. Well, devastated. I go back to Dr. Kendrick, head of exercise physiology at Temple. I'm like, what did they do wrong? Blah, 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 blah. And he looks at me and goes, well, Weston, no one's going to take 5 minutes a day to improve their life if they don't already have that belief system. You could have told me that a year ago.
Save me the time.
You didn't ask. You know, it's good you found this out. That they just won't invest five minutes.
No, 5 minutes.
You don't believe it. So I said, what if we create a few minutes? He goes, now we might be on to something. So he helped me change the journal so that this guidebook, so it would only take 1 to 3 minutes a day.
Wow.
And another year. And thank God, like 80% of the people did it. So what I realized is when you already have a belief system, you really believe it, you're going to do it. You came up with it, you believe it. But if I'm trying, what I was going after is the larger masses out there who don't do diddly squat. They just hit the ground running like a lot of people on any given day. And they're affected by life, right? Are the kids going to get on the bus time? Are they going to eat their dinner? Did they do their homework? Does my husband take out the trash? Am I going to catch the train? I mean, that's, they get banged around. Is my boss going to, you know, be nice to me? They don't really believe they have much control. So I thought, okay. And that's what I did. A really simple thing, even just starting with one word a day that you're going to reflect on before you hit the ground so that you realize life wasn't going to happen to you. You were going to happen to life. Now, do you do other things after that? Of course.
Yeah.
Some people might exercise longer. Some people journal for hours, meditate, namaste, go for it. Some people bike, hike, whatever. But I believe that you getting into that love, peace, and joy state is not the amount of time. It's not what you do. It has nothing to do with it. It's the consistency of you resetting yourself every single day. And that you feel joy, peace, or love. Because there's nothing more important than how you feel. And this sounds basic. Like, we all know this. But somehow, and you know this probably for clients, all the clients I work with, and most of them have made a lot of money, they still get away from it. You know, they still go on that hamster wheel and are not getting, not always, but getting the most joy they can out of life.
Yeah. I have a friend who says common sense doesn't mean common practice.
And, oh, I love that.
And I think about it in terms of just because it's simple doesn't mean we do it. You know,
simple, we think it's not going to work. That's right. Okay. But then see, simple was 5 minutes and they weren't willing to risk it because they didn't think it was going to work. It's too simple, but they are willing to risk a minute to 3 minutes for your focaccia idea, even though they don't believe it.
Yeah.
They're willing to do a minute to 3 minutes.
So what were they supposed to be doing in that 1 to 3 minutes?
So do I have a guidebook? They're all different guidebooks, but one of them, it's just writing down. Look at me. I'm like a crazy person. The most important thing is at the top, there always says a fun, inspirational, you know, little quote. And then it was putting down their word that before they got out of bed, they were supposed to think of, how do I want to show up today? And not too far stretched from where you are. Like if you're depressed and you've never been Pippi Skippy, don't think, woohoo, I'm walking out with joy. Ain't happening. But okay, ease the flow. That works. Confidence. Mm-hmm. Then they would have to come down, just put their word down to reflect on it, and then create a power statement. Could be, everything always works out for me. I have perfect timing, simple, simple. And I would give them the whole idea is in the front of the journal were all these ideas. Those people needed ideas for their power statement because their power statement would be like, I'm not going to be fat anymore. Okay.
No.
Well, not positive. So it was helping realize, okay, these are fun little, depending on what area of their life. So the pre-work was what area of your life we're going to work on for the next 30 days. And then each day, what action you're going to take. You know, okay, if this is I exude pure joy and love from a powerful place, okay, what am I going to do? What action? And if it was about a career, all right, I'm going to make calls to 5 people that I've never called before. And then it was just checking off instead of writing it. So it wouldn't take so long on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, your thoughts and visualization, how you think for what you plan, your food, your water, your daily movement, your sleep, your meditation. It was making a line so that you're intentionally aware of it without writing it in. But if you wanted to take time to write it in, you write it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually recently, I got asked, which is not my forte, but to write a journal for kids ages 6 to 12. I had so much fun. I interviewed kids and all that. And it's called Recess to Reset. But what happened is I sent it all these people to give to the kids. The adults were using it. And I wish
that tells you something.
Yeah, it's a fun journal. Oh. But the reason it is, because the kids created this, they really did. I said, what's your number one concern? First graders. We can't sleep. And this is in a nice, wealthy family area. So keep that in mind.
No way.
Because of gadgets?
Oh, no, yeah.
And they were picking up from the parents. Now, this is all during COVID. Everybody's in the house. So what they wanted is for their teachers and parents to be reminded, even though they say they have unique gifts and superpowers, that they're not only just being a star athlete on stage, a student. So they had me create a whole list of things that were superpowers, such as great listener, brave writer, thoughtful person, great friend. And so they could circle it and then show their teachers and parents, hey, I'm open-minded. That's my superpower. I was blown away that these kids taught me all that.
At first grade.
And then I went in and they said, they want to have a word. a power message, daily focus. There's things like Scribble Scrabble, but they have a thing that just happened, get it out. And they write it out and then refuel, you know, and my brain. None of this takes more than a minute or 3 minutes. If you want to write one, what ends up happening, these kids and the adults, it doesn't seem like I have to do this journal. And it's so fun that you end up writing probably more than a minute and 3 minutes most days, but because you want to.
Journaling so powerful.
Kid, 1 to 3 minutes. All you did is reflect on your word. For example, you're going to have a difficult conversation and you get done that conversation, go, now, was I coming from ease and flow? That is so powerful. That was your, you set the intention to have ease and flow. So if you just looked at ease and flow, that's all you did. Got up, said your word, boom. Do you know how many lives would change? Because they'd be like, whoa, I wasn't coming from pure joy. That was for even me. I was like, wait, I was joy. I was faking, shmaking that one. No, no, no. My thing is pure joy. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
There's a lot of forced joy going on there.
Yeah. What do you think pure joy is?
Oh my God, I just got so emotional. It's that feeling that I tap in to my higher power and energy, knowing that I am so loved. And no matter what I do in my day and what happened, I am beyond loved. And all the craziness going on in the world, someone says the wrong thing to me, I can tap into this. Like I'm doing it right now and I'm getting tingles all over my body. And it's not because I did anything good, bad, or ugly. I just have this pure joy within me and I'm deserving of it. And I can grab at it whenever I want.
Yeah. And it just exists.
I feel it. And it's like, coming over me, that feeling of it's not because my book did this, my podcast did. Not that you don't want those things. Those things are
That's
fun.
Right.
The people are fun. But to know, I say to people, wait, the downside of what I teach is you're going to feel good now, even if you don't get it. Well, that's a bummer. You know what I mean? Wait, don't you just want it because you think you're going to feel better and getting it? So that's what I'm all about. How can you tap into that? And what techniques and tools work for you? Because they're all different. Mm-hmm. Your tools are my tools that you can feel that way more in life.
Yeah.
Obviously, not all the time, but I just want people to have it more. Like, that's why I used to feel guilty. Like, how do they not know this? How can they not know this?
Because it was your water, right? It's just what you were doing.
I was doing it since a kid. Didn't know I was doing it. It was just survival.
That's right. Someone told me this once too, those things that we do as a kid to survive, they become such a part of who we are that we're not aware of it.
Yeah. I thought everybody had this.
But they don't.
Yes, I realize
that. Now. And, you know, I wanted to go back to Sandy, when you were saying that about, you know, picking the word or I can't remember, you know, but basically setting the intention.
Yeah.
When, if I have a podcast, I've got a business, you know, there's plenty to do. All the time. Creating content, there's always stuff to do. I mean, you know that. If I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my God, I've got so much stuff and blah, blah, blah. Then I'm stressed. Everything's harder. When I wake up in the morning and I take those couple of minutes before I get up and I think about, you know, today I want to help someone or today I'm going to be in spirit. I'm going to be, you know, whatever. It flows. It's so weird, you know, but it works.
Yeah, it's not weird. It's like we think it's weird because we're like, this is not normal, but that could be the new normal. Mm-hmm. So for example, when I say to people, and I think this is hard for a lot of people who really are on the self-discovery path, which is most of the people that listen to your podcast. When they have those thoughts, negative thoughts, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. How am I going to do it? It's okay.
Yeah.
Acknowledge them. Like when you get up in the morning, you go, mother humper. I can't believe it. Go cool, cool, cool. In your own words, that's fine. Let them flow. It's all right. I'm feeling this way. It's normal. It's to be human. I'm anxious. I'm angry. I'm jealous. Whatever. Overwhelmed. Just let them go. Breathe for 90 seconds in and out. Breathe and let them go. And now ask yourself, what would I want to embody? Yeah. How would I like to show up in the world? And the reason I say one word is because if you you're more likely to stick with it. Okay. It's not a whole meditation, which is great. I mean, I have, you know, friends and clients who do whole meditations, but let's get there first. If you want to have consistency, 30 days, all I'm doing is, well, it would be great if I could show up all day long to inspire. It would be great if all day long I'm in service, all day long, peace and joy, power, whatever it is. And depending on your belief system, ask the universe, inner voice, higher power, guide me to serve others in my highest power, inner voice, heart, whatever your thing is. I ask every single day. Well, I call God Neil. So I talk to Neil. Like, how's it going, Neil? What are we doing today? How can I serve? So we're on a first name basis. You can name God.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I got to ask, why Neil?
Oh, because when I was in my 20s, hanging out with one of my friends and there was somebody in an apartment above me, I was upset that they were making so much noise because they were drumming, the guy above. And I was like, oh my God, aren't Neil, just listen to me, Neil, can you just hear me? And my friend came in and goes, oh my God, now you're calling God Neil? Because I was talking out loud. Like, hear me. And so it became a joke that God was Neil.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean,
I completely love that.
I didn't know any Neils since then. And I was in my 20s, but I just recently met Neil. I go, so now my friends who know I call God Neil and some of them call God Neil, we go, no, the human Neil. The human Neil.
Oh my God. So we didn't know that God was a drummer.
That's humor.
I love that. I love that. Hey, I wanted to ask you too, real quick. You had said something about life doesn't happen to you, you happen to life, or something like that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me? I think that's what we've been talking about here, but can you just kind of clarify that a little bit for me?
Yeah. So during the stay-at-home phase war, I wasn't able to do as many keynote speaking engagements and workshops. So during that time, I decided to take a course, an intense course, to take my keynote speaking up to the next level. Shout out to HPS. And you, as I'm writing, we had to come up with your big idea. And so I was writing a lot of these stories and everything that we were talking about it and came up with life doesn't happen to you. You have to life, because there's nothing, like we talked about, more important than how you choose to show up, how you start your day, how you come out in the world. And I feel many people don't think they have as much control as they really do. And they get banged around like a ping pong ball. Believe me, some things are going to throw you off, but how long do you want to stay stuck there? So my big thing is, yeah, it's going to throw you off, but I don't want you to get stuck there. And how long are you going to be there? And that you are more in control than you think. You get to decide every single day. And it might be that you're like, no, this day sucks. What? I'm staying in bed. I'm good with sucking. What? You're going to sleep like that. No judgment. I just want you to be aware of how many of those suck wad dates do you want to have.
That's right. And to your point, sometimes things happen, right? Yeah. Curveballs, we get thrown off of our path.
We've got major curveballs.
We do. And yet, I don't know where I read this, but it's something I just believe, is that every time we find a crossroads or a transition, something like that, it's an opportunity for us to step back and say, who do I want to become next?
Yeah.
You know?
But before you can say, who do I want to become next in that, you have to admit it's a suckwad day.
Oh, it does.
Or a suckwad thing, or this. And that's what I was not good at. You have to say, this is horrible. This is whatever. Now what?
That's right.
And if you need time to be sad or to, okay, cool.
That's right.
But then what?
Because that transition to, you know, who do I want, that doesn't happen immediately. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because sometimes I think that people try to force us through that too quickly. It's like, no.
Path, man.
Yeah. If you need to mourn, if you need to grieve, if you need to whatever, that's totally fine. In fact, that's healthy. So, all right. So this has been amazing. We didn't even talk about the fact that you were the first female trainer for the Philadelphia Flyers, which I had planned on talking about. That does sound kind of amazing though.
It was fun. It was good. It was a good time. And they were cool points.
That had to be amazing.
It was. And how cool was it? So Ed Snyder, who was the owner of the Flyers, and Pat Croce, who was their conditioning coach, who happened to be my client at Snyder, they brought me in, and I got to be the only female with seven of my big trainers walking in. And it was the coolest thing. And we each had one of the guys. What it was about is when they would get injured, right? They couldn't be on the ice, so they would do the rehab. But once they were allowed back on the ice, they didn't want to keep conditioning to stay strong, so they'd get re-injured. So Pat Croce brought my team in to do that. Even though they should be doing it on their own, they were. Right. Yeah. And I got one of their stars back then who was phenomenal, like the big guy, Eric Lindros. So it was really cool, and it really helped my career a lot and gave me credibility. Oh,
I bet it did.
It gave me a lot of credibility at such a young age. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like you are very driven, like with the different things you're doing, like the different books that you're writing. And I love the kids' journal too. Seems like very much driven by, you know, maybe passion, or what do you think drives you that way?
Well, I do get bored easily. I love doing a lot of things. So good and bad of it. You know, people say have a niche and then just keep homing on that. Well, my niche is mental and physical fitness. So I mean, it's not like I wouldn't want to be an engineer, but in that, I like a little bit of everything, and I like all age groups. So I like kids, I like college kids, like adults, you know, so there's a wide range, but I do know what it is, passion. And I try to do most things like come from peace, love, and joy. But I think the biggest thing is what we talked about before. I don't know why you're getting emotional about this, but I really want in anything I do to help people see they have more power within them than they realize, and how easily and quickly they can tap into their pure joy and have more of it in their life. So whether it's keynote speeches, workshops, masterclasses, podcasts, books, it's all the same thing. And, the physical fitness was always just a vehicle for the mental fitness.
Yeah.
Since day one.
I love that. And that's a perfect segue, Sandy, too. So how can people learn more about what you do have going on and where they can find you?
Everything is going to be on my website, Sandy Joy Weston, and that's with an O-N. All the things I do, if they want to work with me, keynotes, whatever, it's all going to be on the website. If they want to reach out, my email is sweston@sandyjoyweston.com. And I do lots of stuff on social media, again, on all the platforms, Sandy Joy Weston.
Perfect. And I'll put those in the show notes as well for people. So any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Absolutely. Fun. Words, movement, laughter. Just get up. Even if you don't want to dance around your house, every hour, take a break. Laugh about something silly. Pet your cat. Go outside. Don't think you're going to get more done by sitting there grinding it out and being miserable. Even if you just roll your shoulders, you can have a dance party inside your body. It doesn't have to have songs. Little things that will make you smile. And if it's not dancing, go hug a tree. Kiss your cat. Kiss a stranger. Whatever's going to put a smile on your face. Because when you do that, that's when you're not only going to serve yourself, you're going to serve the world.
Yeah. And I really love how you said that. Don't just think you're going to make more happen by sitting there and grinding it out. You know, sometimes you need that little, like one of my dogs is right here at my feet right now. And you just need that.
Yeah.
You need to get away for a moment and come back and be better.
1 minute, man.
Just 1 minute. Off. Sandy, thank you so much. This has just been, I knew it was going to be fun. So thank you. And thank you for sharing everything that you did.
Oh, you're welcome. I really did have fun. It was a lot of fun.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. Here are my main takeaways. 1, find joy no matter what is going on around you. 2, are you happening to life or just showing up? 3, I love how Sandy used movement and dance to shift her mind from the stress, fear, and anger to shift to a positive mental state. And that's how she was able to see beyond her present circumstances and visualize a more powerful future. Now, this is also backed up by what we now know about how the brain works. There are a lot of ways to make that shift from negative, neutral, or stressed into a positive mindset. You just have to find what works for you. 4, there is so much power in what Sandy described regarding the consistency of resetting yourself every single day and getting into that positive space so that you can feel love, peace, and joy. And finally, number 5, there's nothing more important than how you choose to show up. I hope that you took away some insights and ideas that will help you on your journey. I am so grateful to you for tuning in and for sharing the podcast with others. You are why I do this. So I hope that you'll be well and continue to thrive no matter what.